This is Makan Awazari, and it is Geopolitics Podcast. The topic of this podcast is Libya and the civil war in Libya. We had Arab Spring, which led to revolutions in Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt, changing dictators and at first bringing democracies. But the democracy, I'm outside recording this one, so I'm trying to be more creative and more, you know, have a sharper mind outside, so the sound of the cars, I apologize. So we had Arab Spring. And Arab Spring led to removal of dictators by revolution and replacing them by democracies. Soon we had Egyptian President Morsi, which was part of Muslim Brotherhood, to be removed by a coup and, you know, coup d'etat, and was received by Sisi, al-Sisi. Then we had, you know, a Tunisian government, you know, all, you know, stepping down at once, and the cabinet being reformed, and lots of political instability with Tunisia. Soon after that, we also had, well, at the same time, we had also civil war in Libya starting. Civil war in Libya was because nobody was agree with democratically elected government in Tripoli, which is also UN-backed, and lots of warlords, tribesmen, and tribe leaders started their own armies, fighting for towns and cities and causing conflicts. And it was the start of Libyan civil war. Then we had the rise of Haftar. Haftar unified many of these rebel forces, got the backing of UAE, Saudi Arabia, and later France helped them, and much later Russia joined the fray and started helping Khalifa Haftar rebels from the east of Libya. The war kept on going on, and you know, the oil-rich poor regions were like lots of fighting for oil and ports that delivered the oil. There was also conflicts for important and strategic locations. America even started bombing at some point with the excuse of killing ISIS, destroying important infrastructures. And the civil war kept on going. Khalifa Haftar was successful and got almost all major locations and came to the borders of Tripoli, the capital city of Libya. This Sirte and Tripoli and one another important city left not conquered by Khalifa Haftar. Now we get to the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood was the soul behind the Libyan Revolution, Egyptian Revolution, and even Syrian uprising and Tunisian Revolution. See, Morsi, the president of Egypt, was part of Muslim Brotherhood. The majority of the politicians in the Morsi government were members of Muslim Brotherhood. And their government got almost above 90% of the votes in the elections in Egypt. After Arab Spring expanded to Bahrain and other countries like Yemen, then Saudi Arabia and UAE started confronting Muslim Brotherhood, while Qatar, Turkey, and United States of America supported Muslim Brotherhood, or Akhwanul Muslimin is their Arabic name. Then there was a coup d'etat in Egypt. The coup d'etat in Egypt removed Morsi and brought a dictator and a military person called al-Sisi to power in Egypt. And then there was a crackdown on Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood is considered a religious and civic institution. So there was a crackdown on civic institutions of Egypt, especially Muslim Brotherhood, during which they were all or almost all of them were either hanged or placed in jails. Very large numbers of them were hanged and placed in jail. And it was really, really, really to the level of crime, like criminal court for international criminal court. It was real suppression of Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood become law, outlaw across the Arab world. In current conflict in Libya, we have different nations supporting different sides of the war. We have Sarraj, internationally recognized government of Libya, which only controls Tripoli, the capital city, and various other small areas, who is supported by Turkey and Qatar and a couple of other countries, but majority only Turkey and Qatar. They are supported by Turkey because Turkey supports Muslim Brotherhood. And Turkey has, see, the president of Turkey, Erdogan, has very emotional connection to Syrian revolution, to Muslim Brotherhood, to Libyan revolution, and it's very sad for the martyrs of Syrian war and Libyan war. And he doesn't want the country that Muslim Brotherhood controls, or at least their capital city, the Tripoli, falls. So it is why Turkey supports the Muslim Brotherhood-led government of Tripoli, Sarraj. There is also another factor for Turkey's support of Sarraj. Turkey wants to be on Mediterranean Sea, on both parts of Mediterranean Sea. See, Turkey has a very, very, very large coastal area in northern Mediterranean Sea, and wants to be also on southern part of Mediterranean Sea in Libya. By agreement they made with Libyan government in Tripoli and Sarraj, Turkey will be allowed to have military force and presence in that region on Mediterranean Sea. And this is why Turkey supports Sarraj and Tripoli government. Qatar has been also from beginning supporting Arab Spring, and thus they still support Sarraj. Then we get to the part of Khalifa Haftar. Khalifa Haftar was part of the Gaddafi government, which there is no problem with that. He was part of his government, but he wasn't Gaddafi, and he's a military general. He controls majority of Libya. He's supported by Saudi Arabia, UAE, and you know, this Sudan, Russia, and France. He controls majority of Libya, and is very close to conquering Tripoli. If he puts all of his forces, military forces, and gets some international help in direct conflict with Sarraj and Tripoli, he will take the Tripoli. Now, why Saudi Arabia and UAE support Khalifa Haftar? Well, because they are against the Muslim Brotherhood. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and UAE are against Muslim Brotherhood by all their, like, you know, governments and their institutions, and all the means are confronting Muslim Brotherhood. They even made Muslim Brotherhood a dirty word around the, like, in the Arab streets. People are even afraid of talking about Muslim Brotherhood now in those regions. So this is why Egypt also supports Khalifa Haftar of Libya. As I said, Russia supports Khalifa Haftar as well. They have sent some Russian mercenaries to Libya to help the Haftar government. These mercenaries are majority a sniper people, like, you know, the people who are expert in using a sniper. And they have brought lots of gains in recent battles in Tripoli against Sarraj, international government, recognized government of Tripoli. You know, because, you know, the conflict is not a real full conflict. It's like, you know, new era conflict. So, you know, sniper rifles are very useful to hit the targets far away. So Russia has provided mercenaries. Russia will also provide more help in near future to Khalifa Haftar to help him defeat Sarraj or Tripoli. France also provided help, but I don't know exactly what type of help being provided by France. UAE also has provided help for Khalifa Haftar. UAE has provided jets, military jets. I've never seen rebels combating the, like, you know, government of a country to have military jet and air force. Since entering of UAE into Libyan war, the Khalifa Haftar has jets, military jets, both for bombing and air-to-air battle. Saudi Arabia and UAE have also provided drones for Khalifa Haftar. Drones are also very useful and can be used for bombing and reconnaissance, and even other means which are out of this conversation. Sudan has actually provided troops in large numbers. Sudan provides troops for Saudi Arabia in war against Yemen in very large number, and against Sarraj in Libya to help Khalifa Haftar, but in lower numbers. And there are also mercenaries from Chad and other African countries, Sahel region countries, helping Khalifa Haftar. This is not a full-blown war, I must tell you. A full-blown war is not seen for decades. A full-blown war is totally different. It's a new era of war. You know, snipers, ground troops, rifles, some bombing, some artillery, and, you know, slow-moving armies. Full-blown war is different. You want me to explain full-blown war? Full-blown war is like 20,000 jets, 10,000 jets and airplanes bombing cities, 10,000 artilleries, 100,000 artilleries bombing cities, and even playing like drum. There are some drums sounding like artilleries, or artilleries sounding like drum, dub 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 dub, bombing cities in a matter of seconds. So it would be artilleries and real wars, and millions of soldiers, 10,000, 100,000 tanks, helicopters, and air forces. It would be a full-blown war, battles of elimination, decimating, destroying cities in a couple of days, and taking away capability of the enemy to wage war, to build military, and so on. That would be a full-blown war. The war we have in Libya is a civil war of a new era war, era of never-ending wars. Now, the issue we have in Libya is that Libya is a never-ending war, because when the war never ends, then there will be never a rebuilding of that country. They're gonna keep engaging each other in different cities and different regions, and then there is multiple small rebel groups that are causing problems in regions controlled by Haftar and even Sarraj, because there are new rebellions and new rebel groups are, you know, starting in every corner of Libya. So they are also causing problems, and we will never get to rebuilding of that Libya as long as there is a never-ending war, because they're combating each other. So we need to get to the end of that war. Now, Russia and Turkey started a peace talk in Russia by Russia started the conversation to make the peace talks. And then two sides of the Libyan conflict, with Russians and Turks, went to Russia and talked about peace. But Khalifa Haftar refused to sign the peace deal or truce. And Khalifa Haftar was wise to not sign the truce and the peace deal. Because if they make ceasefire or peace deal, the war will end. But the war will not end. Sorry, the war will not end. There will be different regions of Libya controlled by two different governments. It either leads to division of Libya into multiple countries, or it will be a never-ending war, just putting a stop on it for a couple of years or a couple of months, and then the war will start again. Then afterward, they went to Germany, and world leaders like Mike Pompeo, Merkel, Emmanuel Macron, and Russian presidents, or I think foreign minister, and Recep Tayyip Erdogan, president of Turkey, Sarraj and Haftar attended the talks in Germany. everybody signed a peace deal or an agreement to make a peace in Libya, but Khalifa Haftar. And Khalifa Haftar was very smart again to not sign the peace deal. Because there is no point in making a peace deal. We must ensure one part of this conflict wins the battle. And once one part of this conflict wins the battle, the war will end. And the only person who is in position to win the battle is Khalifa Haftar. Because he controls the majority of Libya. And he can get the take over Tripoli and what is the other city? And another city which was very important. He just needs some help, like, you know, Russian mercenary with snipers and some, you know, surgical airstrikes by jets and drones. And then, you know, people with rifles and assault rifles will get into the city and take the city and the government, and they will establish a control over all of Libya. But there is another issue with this. What if Khalifa Haftar take all of Libya? Then outcome of Arab Springs becomes two military generals and dictators controlling Egypt and Libya. It will become defeat of Arab Spring. They say Arab Spring has died and had certain outcome, good or bad. But the coup in Egypt killed Arab Spring in Egypt and brought a military general called Sisi. I really don't like that Sisi. But I'm helping the Egyptian economy, but it's out of this conversation. Khalifa Haftar is also a military general, and he will become a dictator in Libya, taking control of that country. And, you know, we don't want two military generals inheriting the Arab Spring, but we have no choice in Libya but to end the war in Libya. And the only way to end the war in Libya is helping Khalifa Haftar. Not only he should not, Khalifa Haftar should not sign the peace deal with Sarraj or anybody else, but he must ramp up his attacks on Tripoli and take over Tripoli and establish full control over Libyan country. Then we must hope and ask him or force him to have election soon after taking Tripoli and taking control over all of Libya. Now we get to another thing, which I explain in next segment. We have something called use of dictators for helping countries. Dictators are not always bad. See, democracy can be good, can be bad. Democracy, for example, we have a democratic country and it's prosperous and everything is good, and then there is election and then there is new president, and this new president will change their laws, regulations and policies and will destroy everything in that country, or destroy the, you know, destroy a country because it's a bad president coming into power, or the president is not good enough, then his mistakes and his wrongs will lead the country into problems and failures. Democracy doesn't always lead to prosperity. Democracy doesn't always lead to freedom. But democracy causes fluctuation in many changes in many things and make the country unstable at times. For example, we have a parliamentary system in Britain. You witnessed for Brexit, there was over 1 year of talks, constant talks in the House of Commons or British Parliament, and people were constantly talking. Theresa May made a very good agreement for Brexit with European Union. It was almost as good as she could do. And then when she put it for vote in House of Commons, they did not vote for it, and they rejected the Brexit. And then she tried again and again and again. Malfunctioning democracy with many little small political parties with opposing views have changed the way of life in Britain forever. The damages done to the British public and to British society and to British economy is irreversible, and it is because of democracy. Because people voted for different sides of the political system in Britain. And there was a long battle for Brexit. Until, let me explain this so you learn why, what's the problem with democracy. Until Boris Johnson came into power. Boris Johnson tried to leave the European Union, and in Parliament again obstructed it. So he went to Crown, and went, I also wrote an article which led to him going to the Crown, or maybe somebody else read it and then advised Boris Johnson to go to the Crown. And once he got to the Crown, he asked the Crown to close the British Parliament. So the Crown, British Crown, or Queen of England, closed the British Parliament. Now you have no Parliament. Get out of the European Union. And once the situation was prepared, then Sisson got engaged, you know, check and balances on power, and they brought back the Parliament. And then this led to second choice for Boris Johnson, risking it all and having a snap election. Then they had a snap election, and the new election, luckily, the people who were supporting the Brexit, or Brexiters, got the majority in British Parliament. Then they put it on the vote, and Brexit became law of the Britain. But again, you see how democracy has exhausted and changed and harmed Britain in economy, social life, and even public to the level which will be irreversible. And that's the negative effects of democracy. Or in America, democracy brought Trump, and Trump destroyed industrial supply chains, world economy, even American society forever. Somebody like Trump as outcome of democracy. And this has been repeated throughout history. In Germany, we also have the same problem. When there are three political parties who hate migrants, and there is rise of fascism and far right and Nazis. In Germany, not yet, but slowly. It's just because of democracy. Or in Italy, democracy has brought populists and anti-migrants, far right, which is also destroying the way of life in Italy and all the policies and economic activities and politics of Italy. Democracy is dangerous. Democracy is not always good, but it's better than dictatorship. What type of democracy is good? Type of democracy we have in the Islamic Republic of Iran. When there is a boss, like Supreme Leader of Iran, if the president is crazy or is going to make actions that harm the country in the long run or changes the policies of the country, which are critical to the survival of that country, then the Supreme Leader will say no. It would be like British Crown, but British Crown is old and rarely gets engaged in the issues. In USA, we have another means through intelligence agencies, independent intelligence agencies, which have some power on the White House. For example, if Trump goes very crazy, they will take him to Camp David, and there will be no president to make crazy actions. Or we have Congress to suppress president's actions. But again, Congress can be controlled also by president's friend. So we have that in lesser degree in USA. Russia has another system of democracy which will work, is a democracy like Russian democracy. When somebody like Putin exactly knows what is the long-term geopolitical plans for the Russian country. And he can be president of Russia for 5 years and for three terms, two consecutive terms, and then he can come back. So that type of democracy is good. Because it will, you know, it has a president that is powerful enough to ensure, and long-term enough to ensure the country is successful and does not make mistake. Now, Chinese democracy has the Russian Chinese Communist Party, and it was two-term president, but they changed the law and it's like three-term president. And Chinese democracy has also, you know, some securities. But then we get to other democracies. For example, again, Britain, Lebanon, Iraq, or Brazil, or any other country. These countries have been destroyed by democracy. For example, Brazil has lots of nationalized or nationally owned companies, like oil company of Brazil and lots of other industries. These industries were destroyed, well, were privatized once new liberals came into power, like Rousseff and Da Silva. Rousseff and Da Silva are very good politicians, but their mistake was privatizing the industries of Brazil. And it caused Brazil to become in debt and have lots of economic problems. Because the private oil company owners and private industries don't pay, like, you know, into government, they pay only some tax. Maybe they mismanage the companies if they are controlled by the country, but then the country is big enough to be able to correctly manage the oil companies if they are, you know, good enough politicians. And again, I repeat it. See, democracy can be good and but it can also be very bad and dangerous. Dictatorship is a form of protection for the countries which do not have protections against mind control. We have something called mind control. Mind control comes in and helps certain countries. For example, British economy, American economy, and Chinese economy, and German economy are run by mind control, help of mind control. The mind control ensures the economy, the politics, and the situation are run efficiently and well enough for these countries to be politically and economically productive and active and be powerful enough as powerful countries. But in a country like Libya, mind control does not give any help. Well, it helps, you know, manages the society and does some other things, like the leaders. But they're always in danger of losing everything, because mind control is also very interested in resetting Libya, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and some other countries because of their geopolitical locations. For example, Libya is located in the Mediterranean Sea, where it can close the transit of the sea, and is somewhere in Africa with lots of geopolitical importance and has lots of oil. So mind control wants to destroy it whenever they want. If they have a dictatorship in Libya, the dictator can protect that country from the damages democracy will cause due to the help of mind control. See, they mass mind control everyone to vote for somebody, and then there's somebody new somebody will destroy everything in Libya. But when there is a dictator, the dictator will protect the interests of Libya and long-term goals of Libya and ensure that Libya survives as an average country or as whatever country and will not be falling. This is why dictatorship is good. Dictatorship is also good in countries like Iran, but not full dictatorship, because Iran also has oil and is located at center of planet Earth, center of Eurasia and Africa, connecting many regions of the world, and the dictator will ensure the country is not destroyed by democracy. For example, what happens if there is a full democracy in Iran? There's a full democracy in Iran and new government comes in power, and the new government start making trade deals with different countries or selling the oil for a cheap price, or, you know, lots of other things they can do, and they may do if the democracy, full democracy comes to Iran. This is why we have half democracy, half dictatorship in Iran. We have the same in Russia, in China, and in United States of America. America is also half dictatorship. For example, do you want me to prove you America is half dictatorship? Trump. Yes, Trump came to power with the help of Russia. See if Trump can lift the sanctions on Russia, or if Trump can make a good trade deal with Russians, or even if Trump can say good sentence about Russia. If Trump does something like that, we will take Trump to Camp David and we put them there for 100 days. So Trump cannot do that. Same thing if Trump tries to improve the relations with Iran. For example, Trump comes out and say, I want to lift all the sanctions from Iran and make Iran our best ally. Then what happens? Congress will not allow it, Senate will not allow it, and he may go to Camp David. So some presidents can do it, some presidents cannot do it, but it must be a long-term project, convincing Senate and Congress and public to achieve certain ends. And this is why Trump USA is half democracy, half dictatorship. And dictatorship in USA is enforced by mind control. Russia is the same, half dictatorship, half democracy. China is the same. Britain has the crown, but the crown is not involved in a dictatorship, so it's democracy. And that's why they have lots of problems. Germany had like a efficient political system, always a majority in their Bundestag, but they don't have a majority anymore. So, but they're also full democracy. Anyway, we passed these conversations and just got to the point of proving that dictatorship is good for Libya. But again, a full dictatorship like Gaddafi, when they are in power for 50 years, 7 years, and they get old, and they're not even seen by public for 10 years, 20 years, we don't want that. We want a form of dictatorship in Libya in which we can change the president of Libya every 5 years or 10 years, and there is check and balances on their power, like half democracy, half dictatorship. Now, we get to the end of this segment. So, in Libya, we want to end the war as soon as possible. I don't care Sarraj or Haftar, even like Muslim Brotherhood, I wish I could have helped them to win the battle as Sarraj and Tripoli. But they cannot win the war, so I have to help Khalifa Haftar. Khalifa Haftar must not accept any peace deal, and he must keep up his attack on Tripoli and even ramp it up until he can take over Tripoli and take over all of Libya. And once Khalifa Haftar takes the country, we will have an assembly of experts composing together the constitution of Libya. Constitution of Libya must create a country and political system similar of that of Iran, without, you know, religious figures. Something that there is somebody who can have check and balances of power in his hand, and then that person, like supreme leader of Iran, watches the like the president, but the supreme leader himself is watched by a parliament who are religious people, like hundreds of them, who also, you know, are check and balances of power on supreme leader, something like that. And then there should be 3 branches of government, half democracy, half dictatorship, in a way that we protect Libya. Then we will put that for a general election and what do you call it when everybody votes? Referendum. For a referendum in Libya. And then we will have a new government of Libya established. We must ensure Libya and Iran have good diplomatic relations, because Libya is very important for geopolitics, balance of power, and world order. And for world order to be balanced, Libya must be on the side of Iran, Venezuela, Nigeria, North Korea, and Russia, and Yemen. So Libya must have very good diplomatic relations with Iran. Another thing we want to do is to industrially rebuild Libya. We built Manhattan in 1 year. Like all of that Manhattan in New York. When we started building Manhattan, it was part of Pennsylvania, but then it was part of New York. We built all of it in 1 year. All of New York in 1 year. We can do the same again, and we can build Libya in 1 year, but those methods are banned. So maybe in 5 years, we can build new cities, new industries, factories, and, you know, new roads, railroads, ports, and petrochemical facilities. So we want to build the Libya after the war ends, very rapidly, very fast. I cannot promise it because they may not allow it, but we can do it. We can even build a new Manhattan in Libya. So, and then there is this our goal. So, the what we want to take away from this podcast, as far as policy we have on hand, is Khalifa Haftar must not accept a peace agreement with anybody in Libya. The only pathway forward for Khalifa Haftar to rapidly take over Tripoli and other 2 cities left and take control of all of Libya. And then the other policies and goals we have in this project. Now, Islamic Republic of Iran, if they want to have good relations with Khalifa after he becomes in power, takes over the power,
the Islamic Republic of Iran must help Khalifa Haftar. Iran can give them drones, boats, missiles, and other means of combating Tripoli government. But they must not do it openly, because if they do it openly, then Khalifa Haftar will be hated by the international community. Because they have designed the system in a way that every time Iran helps a country or a nation, that nation will be targeted by news organization and public and USA. So, if we want to prevent that, Iran must help Khalifa Haftar, but we must not allow it to be on the news organizations nor in the hands of intelligence agencies. The Libyans themselves, Khalifa Haftar, his associates, and those who will hold the power, they are only ones who must know that Iran helps Khalifa Haftar. And then when the assembly of experts sit there to decide for next Libyan constitution, we will have multiple Iranians present to ensure Iranians will help with the writing of constitution of Libya, and they will ensure Libya is ally of Iran for long term. Now we get to the geopolitics and why we need Libya as ally of Iran. See, we have designed the geopolitics in a way that there are multiple countries in different regions of the world we can use in future. One of them was Libya, which fell. Another one is Venezuela, which cannot allow to fall. You can bring, you know, what is that guy? The new fucking interim president trying to take over Maduro's position. But Libya, Venezuela will not fall. Nigeria will be also a part of this system. Yemen will be a part of this system. North Korea is part of this system, and Iran is also part of this system. And Russia is also joining this system, but Russia is from different gateway. Because Russia must be liked and acceptable by international community. Because Russia has different roles, which is all of this conversation, should I explain? Okay, I explain. America is no longer fit to have the diplomatic works done and problem solving done by United States of America. At some point in history, every time when there was an issue, we brought America and United Nations and European Union to have, you know, conflict resolution. But later we saw America became, you know, just partial and, you know, polar, trying to help friends and its own goals, and was no longer helpful in these projects. Now we want to have Russia replacing them, replacing European Union and USA in conflict resolutions, as they had the Astana talks and Sochi talks for solving Syrian conflict, and they ended the conflict. Then we brought them for talks in Libya, but we want Libyan war to end. And the Russians also started Libyan peace talks. They also are to start the peace talks in Israel, if we can get there. It's kind of hard, but we want the mediation role done by Russians. So Russians will also join this system, but from different gateway and in different image. Now it's time for recorded advertisements. We want to have Joe Biden as USA president, and I need the USA federal government to devise a plan and work on the details to make trade deals with other countries and scrapping Trump-signed trade deals. We need the trade deals to be in a way to prevent overexpanding of USA economy. We need globalism and free trade to return. And I need EPA regulations. And I need it on the desk of next USA president in his first day in office. Now time for recorded advertisement. Islamic Republic of Iran has to be according to world order and balance of power to be enemy of United States of America and confronting the expansion of Israel. It is their duty by balance of power and geopolitics. Their role was written by the people who drew the maps of the nations and gave their roles to them as nations, countries, and people. We must not allow the hate against Iran in the United States of America, Europe, and Israel to grow beyond a certain point. And Islamic Republic of Iran needs nuclear warheads for its security and for balance of power. It has come the time to allow Islamic Republic of Iran to have nuclear warheads, and they must have sufficient numbers of them. And we must lift the sanctions on Iran, because we must allow the economy of Islamic Republic of Iran to grow, to become the size of France, Germany, Britain, Italy, Spain, Michigan, and California combined. I'm working on Mediterranean Economic Union, and after the war in Libya ends, I will need technology transfer from Italy, Germany, France, and Spain to Libya, and investments in their technologies and industries. Now, in another episode, I will talk about Mediterranean Economic Union. After all, I'm writing Balance of Power and World Order. We'll be right back. Now it's time for advertisements. Thank you.
not time for a message. I told you, if the Libyan conflict drags on, I will turn European Union into black peoples. I will keep on sending black peoples in millions until you end that Libyan conflict.